question. What's the question? And I'm going to incorporate the scripture into the... Thanks, Matthew. I'm going to incorporate the scripture into the message because it comes down to a simple question that Jesus asked. Now, Jesus asked over 100 questions. We could spend a half a year doing Jesus' questions. He asked over 100 questions that are recorded in our Gospels. And I suspect that he asked a lot more questions that we find recorded, because Jesus was such a good teacher, he was more inclined to ask people questions and make them think for themselves, because when we think for ourselves, we incorporate the lesson better than somebody lecturing to us or giving a sermon. So over these next few months of summer, I thought we would explore some of the questions that Jesus asked and see where they take us. So what's the question for today? What's the question? It comes from Matthew 6:27. If you look it up yourself, he says, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? What's the answer? Nobody, nothing. You can't add a single hour. We all know the answer to this question. Of course, worrying doesn't add any time to our lives. Okay, sermon done. We can go home. But Jesus' questions, of course, were meant to provoke thought. So he asks, who about worrying can add one more hour to their lives? And people say, well, nobody, nothing. But then you start to think about it. And when we engage his questions on a deeper level, we start then to get to something that is way more profound and meaningful. Now, I'm also going to say that Jesus never spoke about anything that he had no knowledge of him or experience of himself. You cannot be a good teacher without knowing what you're speaking about, right? What does that mean? Jesus worried. Yeah. I believe that Jesus knew what it was like to worry. That's why he had a lot to say about it. That's why he talked about it. He had his own concerns, not the least of which people were out to kill him. That would worry us a little bit, I think. And he was often in serious danger. People who speak out against power usually are, and in Jesus' case with the Romans, big time. So I'm sure that they worried. That's why he spoke that he worried. That's why he spoke about it more than once. There's another question that I can add to this one in Luke that goes along a similar vein. If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why are you so anxious about the rest? He reflected on what he knew. And if he was fully human, as we believe Jesus was, he worried. So he began to realize that it's utterly useless to think that worrying can extend our lives. But by pondering this question seriously, we come to realize that exactly the opposite is the case. Worrying can't add years to our lives, but it can take years off of our lives. Many years. And they may not be physical, although the state of our mental health determines the state of our physical health for sure. But here's the thing about worrying. We all worry. And we know that it hinders us significantly at times, and it can create great distress in our lives. And when we worry a lot, it takes up a lot of bandwidth. Our mental health, which takes away from living in this present moment and enjoying everything we have and enjoying everybody in our lives, And when you do that, when all your bandwidth is taken up by worry, you're not living. It takes years off of our lives because we're not living. Some people worry so much that it keeps them from doing things that are life-giving for them. It keeps them constrained, only doing what feels safe for them. So worry limits our lives. And so days and months and for some people years go by without much pleasure because of the constant worry in their lives. And worry and its sibling, anxiety, seem to be on the rise. As if by worrying, we can prevent what we're worrying about. And I also want to differentiate worrying from planning and processing. When we get some concerning news or information, there is a process that we have to work through to come to some acceptance of that. And part of that might be a little bit of worry about what's going to happen when we get that news. Yet if we do the work, we will figure out what we want to do with that or have to let it go and move through to a process of acceptance. That's maybe planning and processing. Hopefully it will lead to some action. And by the way, we only worry when we think the outcome is going to be bad. Isn't that funny? We get something in our heads and we start to worry about it, and we only worry about it because we think something bad's going to happen. If we don't think anything bad's going to happen, then we go into a place of anticipation, which is a much better place. A few weeks ago, I watched a movie, 7 Years in Tibet. It came out in the late 90s. Anybody see it? Many years ago, Brad Pitt. This movie is based on an autobiographical book written by Austrian mountaineer and a German soldier, Heinrich Harrer, about his real-life experiences in Tibet between 1944 and 1951. After he and a friend of his escaped from an internment camp in India and traveled to Lhasa, the capital of Tibet. There he befriended and ended up mentoring the 14th Dalai Lama when he was a youth, the current Dalai Lama, the 14th. And during one scene in this movie, it struck me, it's the thing I remember about the movie, Harrer is sitting there worrying about something, and the young Dalai Lama, who's only maybe 13 or 14 at the time, says to him, "We have a saying in Buddhism. If there is something you're worrying about and you can do something about it, do it. If you have a problem you can do nothing about, there's no point in worrying." Well put, but easier said than done. One of the hazards of being a conscious human being is that we can think about and anticipate things that could happen. And we do. And because we seem prone to anticipating bad things happening, we worry about all kinds of scenarios that could happen, as if worrying will prevent what is about to happen. And that's Jesus' point. Worrying is not going to get you anything good. Not one more ounce of life comes from worrying. In fact, worrying takes years off of our actually enjoying the precious gift of life. It takes life, not gives life. Worrying prevents us from taking risks, from getting out into the world to explore new experiences, and just takes up far too much bandwidth in our minds, leaving little space for life. Yet we all worry. If Jesus worried, we are prone to worrying. So what can we do with our worry? You know, it's easy to say just stop worrying. Doesn't work that way. So I'm going to offer you one tool that we can all use. Here it is. Turn it over. I don't mean turn it over to God. At some point, you'll do that. And that probably would help a lot. And I suspect we've all tried it. But let's try something else first. I want you to take the card that you got. Does everybody have one? Everybody have a card? And a pen or pencil, whatever writing implement? If you don't, David can get you some. Y'all good? Okay. I don't have one. I'll get one out of the back of a seat. Thanks, Martha. Do you have one, Sophia? Got it. Good. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take one side of the card, and I want you to write as specifically as you can something you worry about. And if you're not worried about anything right now, something that at times keeps you up at night. Kids, grandkids, health, money, family, future, moving, aging. Whatever it is that sometimes keeps you worrying, write it down as specifically as you can. And use this stem. I am worried that. On one side of your sheet. I am worried that, blah, blah, blah. Take one more minute to look at what you've written and just really think about it and see if you got it down in as much detail as you can. I'm worried that. Da-da-da. Now, turn it over. I want you to write on the other side of the card 5 consequences of your worry, 5 things that could happen you can think of that if your worry came to be would actually happen. I spoke to somebody this week about that, and they said, I used to go out running in the middle of the night, and I thought about what were all the consequences that could happen, and she said the worst consequences was I could die, and she said, I was okay with that, so I went running. I mean, this is it. Write down what you think might happen if your worry came true. 5 of the consequences. Okay. I find myself being a little emotional writing out that. I hadn't done that with this particular thing. So, look at all those five consequences. Are there any of them you can do something about now? If so, circle them. Because that can alleviate worry if you can do something about whatever you're worried about. And if there are things that you can't do anything about, cross them out. This is where you turn them over to God. There's nothing I can do about this, therefore I don't need to worry about it. Things will happen as they happen. Those are the only alternatives. I can either do something about it or I can't do something about it. And if all of them are, I can't do anything about it, really, then it's time to figure out how to let go. How to give them up to God. The thing about this exercise is quite often our worries don't bother us during the day. They worry us in the middle of the night often, and they're the things that make us worry. What I suggest, keep a pad of paper and a pen beside your, you know, either in your bathroom or out somewhere if you're sleeping with somebody else, and but do it when you're worrying and write down all of the consequences and then go, I can do something about that tomorrow. You've already written it down, so you know. Or I can't do anything about it. Go back to sleep. You know, I can't do anything about it. It's a practice. Practice means you don't get it perfect. You just keep doing it until you get better at it. Because worrying is taking up a lot of people's bandwidth these days, and it means that we're not getting as much out of life as we could if we weren't worrying about something. It means we have time and creative energy for other people, for the projects we want to do, for exercise, whatever it is we could be doing, if we weren't weighed down by some of the concerns we have for our lives. It gets our worries out in a very tangible way. And when we write something out, rather than when we spill it out of our heads and onto paper, then we can see it in black and white, what's going on. And then we can decide whether we can do something about it. So every time you find yourself worrying, sit down with a piece of paper, write it down, and turn it over. Physically seeing what you worry about can help you deal with them in a more concrete way. You may still worry, but you'll have a way to work with them at that point. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? But it can rob us of living a full life. So maybe it's time to turn them over. Let's take a few moments for reflection.